Very thankful and privileged to be here on this special day to worship you together, our Lord and Savior Jesus. I bring greetings from Toronto Baptist Seminary as well as Jarvis Street Baptist Church. We give thanks to the Lord for this bond between Sovereign Grace Community Church with TBS and Jarvis. As a registrar of Toronto Baptist Seminary, I was often asked how many students you have in the seminary. It seems like a simple question, but at times, because the number sometimes can change, I give you a very simple idea. Normally, averagely, we have about 20 to 30 full-time students, and then another 20 to 30 part-time students. And then we have some auditing or special students. We are a small school, but over the years, we found the Lord is with us. We are so confident, we're so thankful to the Lord that the Lord used a small seminary like Toronto Baptist Seminary to train future pastors and missionaries in a wonderful way. I know that in the Bible, as well as throughout the church history, we have many occasions, many examples we found that God used small people, weak people, foolish people, less people to accomplish great things. And the story of Gideon is one of them. So this morning, I'd like to share with you this familiar story. I know you all know this story. But it is wonderful to review this story and to see God's wonderful work through a small group of people like Gideon and his 300 men. Israel was in Egypt as slaves for over 400 years. By God's grace, when they cried out to the Lord in their struggles, the Lord sent Moses to brought out them from the bondage of slavery. And then we know Moses led these people through the wilderness for 40 years. The Lord was with them. And eventually, Joshua led the people of Israel enter into the promised land. And after Joshua, we read the story recorded in this book of Judges. After that generation, after Joshua and his contemporaries, the children of Israel grew up without knowing the Lord, without knowing the mighty work the Lord did in the past. Suddenly they hear the story from their parents, from their grandparents, but they most likely seldom experience those wonderful works. So we see in the book of Judges this downward direction, especially their religious and spiritual decline. As God blessed them, they become rich, they become wealthy, they become strong. And then they forget God's word. They turn from the Lord to have mixed marriage with people in Canaan. And then they turn from the Lord to worship those false gods and idols. And then they fall into big troubles. In grace, God raised up enemies to discipline his own children. God raised up the surrounding nations to attack, to discipline, to punish the sinful Israel. And then they were oppressed for certain years. And then in that oppression, they cry out to the Lord. They turn back to their own God. By grace, God raised up judges to deliver them from the hand of the enemies. And then they will enjoy certain years of peace. and prosperity. But after certain years, again, they turned away from the Lord to worship idols and false gods. And then we see this same pattern repeat again and again in the book of Judges. This is a downward spiral, a decline of their spiritual condition. As we come to chapter 6, 7, and 8, we read the story of Gideon. Gideon was one of those judges. Judges typically has two functions. The first function is to deliver the people from the hand of the enemy. But they were called judges in the sense that they will judge the people when they have conflicts or when they offend the law. But in this book, we can feel the name of judge or judges is also typify these special figures, their life, their work to show the sin of Israel in many special ways to show their spiritual condition. So they were not only deliverers, but also judges to testify their sin against God. In the beginning of chapter 6, we read, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. We don't know that what kind of evil this time they did. But anyway, the Lord raised up the Midianites to punish these people. And we read from the beginning of chapter 6, Midianites, Amalekites, and the people of the east, they came whenever they swung. They occupied the land of Israel. They came like locusts, numerous in number, with their families, with their children. They occupy there, and they take the food, the animals of Israel away. And then the children of Israel became very impoverished. And they fear, they run away, they hide themselves in caves, in dens, in the mountains, because they could not confront, or they cannot push these enemies away from the land. They become so troubled. The Lord sent an angel to meet Gideon. When this angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he called Gideon a mighty man of valor. But Gideon said, I am not a mighty man, because my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and myself is the least in my father's house. He knew that he is not a mighty man. But when the Spirit of the Lord fell upon him, when the Spirit of God fell upon Gideon, he saw the enemy came again. We read in chapter 6, verse 34 and 35, the enemy, the Midianites, the people of the east, came again. He was zealous for the glory of God, and he blew the trumpet. He sent out messengers throughout the land of Israel and gathered the troop and tried to fight against their enemies. Then we come to chapter 7, the paragraph we just read earlier. Chapter 7, verses 1 through 8, the story that God chooses 300 men. They will be used by God to defeat the enemies. Verse 1 of chapter 7, we see this battlefield. Gideon and his men entered into the battlefield there in that valley of Jezreel. The enemy was encamped in the valley by the hill of Moreh. And in the north side, Gideon and his people was on the south side, They were on the mountain loop of Gilead. Verse 1 particularly tells us they encamped there by the well or the spring of Harod. We can imagine a large troop, an army. They need water, they need food. When they prepare to fight in the battlefield, they need find a good location. So here, they have enemy in the valley down below, and they were on the other side. Verse 2, we read, the Lord said to Gideon, the people who were with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. The Lord said, the people who were with you are too many. How many? From the context, we know Gideon has 32,000 of men. That sounds a lot. But compared to their enemy, chapter 6 and chapter 7 said, the enemy was numerous, like locusts. In chapter 8, verse 10, we read, when they defeat the enemy, they describe how many armed men were killed. Verse 10 said there were 120,000 fell or killed. Those are soldiers. Soldiers alone. 120,000 were killed there in chapter 8. So we can imagine these Midianites, Malachites, and the people of East all together, maybe 200, 300,000. So actually, Gideon's troop, 32,000, is not that many compared to the enemy. But God said, the people who were with you are too many for me to give Midianites in their hands. Why? Chapter 2 said, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me. This is very important. The purpose of God doing this, reduce the size of the troop, is lest, in case, Israel claim glory to itself against the Lord. And he even said, they will say, my own hand has saved me. That is the purpose. Why God wants Gideon to reduce the size of his troop. And then Gideon listened to the Lord, and he went and announced and proclaimed and tell all his people, if you fear, if you are afraid, go back to your home. And then we see 22,000 left immediately. And there left 10,000. Basically, more than two-thirds left. Only one-third or 10,000 left. And then we come to verse 4. The Lord said, the people who are with you are still too many. 10,000 compared to 20 or 200 or 300,000 of enemy. Still too many. Still too many. The Lord said, bring these people to the water. I will test them for you. And I will tell you whom you should lead and whom you should send away. And then Gideon listened to the Lord, obeyed to the Lord. He didn't ask why. He didn't say, oh, no, this is too small a troop. He just simply did what the Lord told him. So he brought the people down to the water. Earlier in verse 1, we read that they encamped by the well of the well of Harod, or the spring of Harod. The spring water flow from the mountainside, most likely become a brook, and he could bring all these people, all his men, to the water to drink. And then we know the Lord will show Gideon whom Gideon should bring to the battle. Very interesting. Now we read in verse 5 and 6, how the Lord tells Gideon who Gideon should bring. The Lord said to Gideon, "Everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself." There's one group, those who lapped water like a dog laps, that is one group. And then the other group is everyone who get down on their knees to drink. So verse 6, again, we see these details. The number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. So there are basically two groups. One group, a minority 300. And then there's another group, majority 9,700. And those people, majority, they knelt down and drink water. And then 300, they lapped water, use their tongue like a dog laps. And God said, "I will use this 300 to defeat the enemy. Send away the majority. Send away those 9,700 men." And then again, Gideon didn't say anything. He just simply did what the Lord told him and send away those 9,700. And then by the end of this paragraph, we read the people, 300 people, Gideon, took provisions and their trumpets in their hands, and he sent away all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and returned those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. From 32,000 reduced to the size of 300, that is kind of less than 1% of the original size of this troop. This is very interesting. As I said, we read the Bible, we learn from the church history, we know often God would use small people and less people to do wonderful things. But in this story, what amazes us is that the way God chose these 300, why God chose these 300 in such a way. The description in that two verses is very interesting. Let's pay a little bit more attention, zoom in a little bit into this picture and see. Basically, there's two groups of people. One group, the details, not many, but we see they most likely stand, not like those who knelt down, because the majority will knelt down to the water, and these 300 most likely didn't kneel down. They probably bow and then fetch the water with their hand and then bring the water to their mouth and then use their tongues to lap the water. That's the description. And then the other group is simply that they knelt down. Most likely they will reach out their mouth to the water and then drink without using their hand. Why God chose these 300? People would say, maybe because this 300 is more vigilant, they know this is battlefield, and they expect the enemy could in any moment come and attack them. That's why they didn't put down their weapons, they didn't knelt down, because if you knelt down, what about the enemy came? You got no time to stand up and fight. And then this is one explanation, that these people are more vigilant, more trained, more ready for war. And then some other people would say, oh, those people knelt down because they used to kneel down to the idols. That's why they're so used to it. They knelt down to to drink because they often knelt down to the idols. But you understand, we as Christians, we often knelt down to pray to the true God. Why God choose 300 men in such a way? There's one detail in this text, is that God described these 300 men as they lapped water with their tongue. The scripture says they were like dogs. You know, in the Bible, maybe not in our culture, we cherish dogs, right? We like puppies. But in the biblical context, throughout the church history or many different cultures, dogs is not a figure to describe someone strong, someone courageous. We know lions also laps waters in the same way. Why don't describe these 300 men, said that these people lapped the water like lions? It didn't. The scripture simply describes them like dogs. You know Israelites, you know Jews, they despised dogs, right? This is not a good word to describe warriors. We zoom into the details. Let's also try to see the big picture. Let's imagine there 10,000 people get down to the water to drink. I'm pretty sure none of us here have ever seen 10,000 people drink water together. Have you? Most likely not. 10,000 people drink water together. What a scene. You see, how much water you need when you prepare a church luncheon, how much water you need to prepare for a church like this size? 10,000. How much water they need. But there we know this is a well of Harod. A spring water. The water will continually flow even for 10,000. That spring of Harod is enough. And then these 10,000 people won't finish this water. How about that 300? How much water would those 300 men drink? Yes, 300 men could drink a lot of water. But compared to 10,000, the water they drank is nothing. Imagine they fetch the water with their hands. The water will flow between fingers. When they try to drink, they didn't drink like this. They drink like a dog laps the water. Very little, I would say. Very limited water. Even add up with 300. That's not a big amount of water they can drink compared to the whole army there, 10,000. So the question is, do you think these 300 men can finish the water there? The question is very simple, no. They cannot dry this well of Harod. They cannot drink all the waters brought out from the well of Harod. Because they are very limited. Because they only use hands. Because they only use tongues. Because they only lapped. The water is much more than they could consume. That is the picture of the battlefield. 300 men. Versus how many? 200 or 300,000 enemy. 300 to 300,000. That's 1 to 1,000. This picture is very clear. They can by no means defeat their enemy. This picture is to show these 300 men, that they would not be able by their own hands to defeat this great army of the enemies. Do you see that? Do you see why God chose 300 men in such a strange way? In verse 2, the Lord made it very clear, lest Israel claim glory to itself against God. Israel would say, because these 300 are all mighty men, because they are all trained, because they are all very brave, very able to fight. Each one of them can defeat a thousand. No. Not by their hand. Not by their might. Not by their power. The Lord make it very clear. It is not because Israel is strong, courageous. No, because of God. It is God. You see, in verse 8, when they were ready to the war, the scripture said the provision and the trumpets were in their hands, not even mentioned weapons. Not because they are trained and skillful warriors, but because of God. 300 defeat 300,000 people. If leave to themselves, certainly they will boast. Certainly they will boast. They will say, oh, each one of us are so great, we can defeat 1,000 men. Imagine, even those 1,000 men stand there, how long you need to cut each one down? 1,000. No way. This is to teach Israel they should not boast themselves. This is to teach Israel they should not claim glory to itself. This is a reflection of their sin. Because Israel thinks that they are smart. They have higher EQ. They think they are more able in that promised land. They think that because of their so diligent, that's why they have all this harvest. The Lord won't teach his children, his people. That's why we see the people of Midian, the people of the east, they all came numerous like locusts. It's overwhelming. The pride of human sin. Do you see yourself in the picture like this? We are like Israel. We often think, it is because I'm religious. It is because I study hard of the word. It is because I serve hard. That's why this church revived. It is because I work 2 jobs. That's why my family is so blessed. I'm so wealthy. I have so much money in my hands. No. We shouldn't forget our God. We shouldn't just boast our own hand. Yes, we should be hard workers. Yes, we should be diligent students. Yes, we should work hard by all the ways to look after our children, our families. But we should not boast ourselves. Yes, we can do all things, but still, we need to give the credit to the Lord, because it is God works in us and through us. It is God who blesses us through our humble work. That's the problem we see in the story of Gideon. You see, even from the beginning, Adam and Eve, they enjoy that delightful garden, and they would think, I'm smart enough, I'm able enough, now I understand. I can reach out of my hand to the forbidden fruits and get the forbidden fruit, and we will be like God. See, they use their own hand. They use their own hand. They depend on their own hand, but not God. You know, we should be like God. How? We should be like Adam and Eve, to reach out our own hands to build our own lives, that we may be like God. No. We should imitate our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that we may be like God, that we may be truly the children of God. From Adam even until this very day, we are always like Israel, boast their own ability, boast their own hands. But Scripture clearly tells us it's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, thus says the Lord. The problem of our human sin, one key aspect, is pride. We are pride. We are so proud of our own. Yes, we should work hard. Yes, we should strive in ministries. But we should not go beyond that point, even to idolize our own work. We shouldn't go beyond to idolize our own ability, our own strength, our own hand. We need to give the credit. We need to give glory to God, not ourselves. We should not say, because of me, because of God. In this culture, you see, many young people are encouraged to be independent, to self-dependent. The culture trains us and encourages us, say, yes, you can. Yes, you can. As long as you wish, you can. You can achieve that degree. You can get that job. You can accomplish that thing. Yes. We should encourage ourselves to work hard, but we should never idolize these human ways, these human goals. We have many people, they were confused. They were led astray, just like Adam and Eve were led astray in the garden, to idolize, to worship human abilities, to the point one day this self become bigger and bigger and bigger until it explodes. Until we get depressed. Until we realize that there is so much burdens upon us we cannot overcome. Just like Gideon and his people at that moment, when Midianites, Amalekites, and the people from the east, they all came and occupied. And we feel the same. I can't work. I can't study. I can't get up. I can't kneel down to pray. I can't go to the church. I can't even leave my bedroom. Why? Because we are told, you can. You can, but no, we need to depend on our God. We need to depend on our Lord. Our Lord is merciful, gracious. When Israelites turned away from God and to boast their own strength, God gave them enemy to punish them. But by grace and love, the Lord raised up Gideon as a deliverer, to deliver them from the hands of the enemy, but not only just simply save them, but show them it is not by your hand. It is not by your hand you become so wealthy. It is not by your hand you escape from the enemy. It is by God's grace. It is by God's grace and by God's grace alone. And praise God, he not only delivered Israelites in that situation, he also came in the person of Jesus Christ to us and deliver us from our own sin, from our pride. The Lord Jesus is the Son of God. He has all the right to be proud, but he, when he came into this world, you know he became humble, even more humbler than you and me, become a form of a servant. And he was sent to the cross, and there he would defeat all our enemies. Our enemies in spiritual realm is sin, Satan, and death. We cannot face all these enemies. Just like Gideon and his 300 men, or 32,000 men, or all the people of Israel together, they would not be able to face their enemy. Just we not able to face our sin. We would not able to face the wrath of God. And there in the Garden of Gethsemane, our Lord Jesus faced that judgment for us. In that night, our Lord prayed before the Father and said, Father, if it's your will, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. What is that cup? The cup is the wrath of God that sinners like us deserve. And no one of us, like those 300, would not be able to drink that cup and finish that cup. Our Lord, he was there, overwhelmed, trembled before that bitter cup for you and for me. You see, the Gospel of Luke described that picture there. Even the second person of the Trinity, the very creator of God, he would tremble there, sorrowful, and need an angel appear in heaven to strengthen him. You see the overwhelming force, judgment, curse, the wrath of God he faced for us. Do you see the crown of thorns he wear, symbolizing all the curse from sin? Sin of you, your sin, my sin, every sin in our life. That is overwhelming. Even our Lord Jesus trembled before. But praise God, praise our Lord. He was submissive to the Lord, to the God his Father. He was brought and nailed to the cross, and his hand was nailed there on the cross, that he would able to give us faith, that he would able to tell you and me, fear not, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. In your depression, when you are downcast, hear this word from the Lord, even from the cross of Christ. I will strengthen you, help you, and uphold you. With what? With your own hand? No. With the hand which was pierced through on the cross for you and for me. And that blessed hand are holding you and holding me in this very moment. He's holding us. That's why we have this faith. That's why we have this confidence and courage to face all the challenges in our life. That we can face all the burdens facing us. That in the time of trouble, we can proclaim and rejoice that my Lord is with us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. My Lord will prepare a table even before my enemies, even before these 300,000 million enemies, he will prepare a table for us. He drink that bitter cup for me. He undertake that overwhelming situation for me. And his hand was pierced for me. That's why I can stand, I can proclaim, I can get up, I can lift up my head and rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. That's why in our hands today, just like those 300 men, we have provisions of God. We have a trumpet of victory to blow. We need to trust the Lord, not ourselves. Well, I'm not saying that we just simply trust the Lord and do nothing. Yes, we trust God, and then we do our part. We should also be fervent, like these 300 men. Like Gideon, when all the other people left, they will stand still and there to face enemies, to testify God's power in less people, in weak people, in foolish people. God is able to use you and me to do marvelous things, to fight a great battle, not for us, but for Him, for His glory, because He alone is worthy to be praised. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your forgiveness. We acknowledge, we confess that all of us are proud. At times we forget you. So often we try to depend on our own strength. But Father, thank you even for your discipline, that we would no longer depend on our own strength, but we would depend on our Lord Jesus. Father, may your Spirit stir our hearts. May your Spirit fall upon us, just like your Spirit fall upon Gideon and his 300 men, that we would be courageous and facing all the challenges, facing all the spiritual wars, facing all the enemies, that we can blow the trumpet, that we can proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, because we are on your side and we are on the side of victory. We thank you, Father. May you bless us and encourage us and make us faithful and bold for your glory. In Jesus' name.